people are having a tough time and struggling with it. I hate social media. My engagement is down. This is set. It's like, because that's exposing the truth of what it's really about for you. It's about the applause. It's not about the cause. And it's a wake-up call for people.
Welcome to the Spartan Becca series on Spartan Up with Jared Cogswell, Director of Sport, and Yancey Culp, Director of Programming.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Nunez is on the show today, doing it for the cause and not for applause. JC and I, at the end of this one, were like, damn, dude, normally it's me driving down the road getting educated by a podcast. We're the co-hosts, and that was the best damn education we ever had as fitness coaches and people that love to serve on others. Talk about four things that expose people when they have it. I asked him about why you call it service media versus social media, and man, he hits us hard.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company. Their innovative process allows them to brew great-tasting craft beer without the alcohol. New customers can get 10% off their entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.
What's up, Spartans? Welcome to the DECA series on the Spartan Up podcast. I'm your co-host, Jared Cogswell, along with my brother, the birthday boy, Yancey Culp. And today, you know, I say this every time we have an episode, we have a special guest. Well, this one's near and dear to my heart. Somebody that I extremely respect, somebody that's taught me a lot in the business of fitness, personally and professionally. And I'm talking about Brian Nunez, and we're going to do a deep dive with Brian because he's got a lot of bullets underneath his name and all the great things that he's done in the fitness industry. But before we go to Brian, first off, Yancey Culp, happy 5-0, brother. You know, I was so excited. Now, I made the dogs howl at DecaFit Austin when we were singing happy birthday to you. I think some people were screaming at me to get off the stage. But, man, I am so excited to celebrate your birthday on this episode.
Dude, the surprise that you guys laid on me, well, I had no freaking clue, by the way. Here I was, my brain was like, oh my gosh, I got to explain to these people why the timing's going to be delayed 2 or 3 hours. I'm stressing out, and you hit me with the freaking big birthday message, and they sang to me in my hometown. I knew probably 90% of the people that were there, the 500 to 600 people, and that was just, I love you, bro. That meant a lot to me. That was one of the top 3 or 4 most special days of my life, so thank you.
Well, we were in your hometown, and we're celebrating fitness in Austin, Texas. And man, what a freaking weekend. Okay, we're talking world record by Ryan Kent. Now he is the DecaFit world record holder, as well as the DecaMile record holder. And then he's going to be at one of our affiliate gyms here in Denver, Colorado next month, gunning for the Triple Crown for the Deca Strong. And so, hey, how about a quick recap and a shout out to the National Guard?
Well, as you said, the Deca Cyborg showed up. That men and women's heat was that first one, especially in the male and female side, was amazing. Chris Roglowski missed breaking face Denny's record by 7 seconds. Alex Walker and Bridget Brown right on her heels. But as you said, one of the greatest parts of Saturday, one of the greatest moments was the fact that our U.S. Army National Guard leaned in on the DecaFit event as their 2022 and 23 endurance team qualifier. Approximately 100 competitors from 40 plus states merged onto the Austin DecaFit event and used as the qualifier for the endurance team. And as the Guard and our military is so wonderful at doing, not only did they compete, they jumped into the zones, they volunteered all day long for our elites, our age group competitors, and the open categories. So it was awesome seeing some of the top brass come down from DC, the colonels and the sergeant majors and whatnot, and just seeing them and watching them celebrate. And some of them got into the arena as well. So from the bottom of our heart, everybody at Spartan and Spartan Deca, thank you to our Army National Guard for coming down and trusting us to be your qualifier.
Yeah, one more thing I want to throw out there too is the female elite champion at DecaFit Austin, Chris Ruglowski. She is not only an amazing competitor, but an amazing human being. I mean, she has helped us. She'll go out there and podium in her heat, and then she'll go out and volunteer and help us run a successful event. And so cheers to Chris and her big victory the other day. The other thing, you know, for Texas, it was a big weekend in Texas. And so I'm celebrating with a nice cold glass.
Oh, I knew it was gone.
49er water here. And I know our guest today, Brian Nunez, is a big 49er fan as well. So I wanna just
I knew. I wasn't expecting this either.
That tastes like victory over your Cowboys right there. And but really, why we're here is we've got a special guest, as I mentioned, Brian Nunez. I'm gonna just give you a quick few bullet points here. 2019 Personal Trainer of the Year. Okay, you don't get that recognition by accident. You've got to earn it. You have to have a resume, not only of, you know, being a great coach, but also a giver to the community, to your clients, to the fitness community. And there's not a better coach on the planet, as far as I'm concerned, than Brian. He's also the owner of the award-winning Fitness Never Sleeps, FNS, in Santa Clara, California, which I've had the opportunity to go train with Brian there at his gym. It's an amazing facility. He's also the performance coach for many athletes and business professionals. He's a keynote speaker and author of Elevate to Great. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. I think also what I know about Brian, he's an awesome father. He's a great husband. And he's a role model for so many fitness professionals. So, Brian, I want to welcome you to the show, man. You know I love you, and it's just such a treat to have you here.
Oh, I cannot express the gratitude, the appreciation that I have for both of you. You know, we reach out the other day. It's been crazy these last couple of years. Really, the last year and a half, I really kind of went dark on doing podcasts, doing shows. Head has just been down so much in business and life and family. And so I'm excited. And you reach out, I was like, you know what? This is going to be the first one that I'm going to get back on and start doing these. And of course, two of the biggest energy dealers, motivators, just forces of positivity. You two, you just radiate so much love, and I'm honored to be here.
We're gonna have a good time here, man.
We were sitting in a 16-foot RV in 2018 in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, as fitness coaches for the U.S. Army. And Jerry's like, he breaks out his phone, he's like, you got to start following this guy, Brian, man. He's so amazing. And I had heard little tidbits, and like, because I was just flat out told, listen, dive in and start following, I started doing it. I was like, dude, I leveled up since 2018. I've leveled up. Because JC said, you got to do a deeper dive into this guy. Listen, you're quoted as saying, our greatest value as coaches is the attention and accountability we give our clients. For everybody out there listening, man, give us a little deeper dive in that quote. That was a mic drop when I first read that.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's the most important thing as coaches. And first off, where I'm so passionate about this, where I'm so purpose driven is because I believe with every fiber in my body that we as coaches have the most important job in the world. And I think anybody who's a coach and in this space, it's tough because oftentimes this for so many people who first get into it, they started as a hobby, right? Like, I like exercise, so then maybe I'll start coaching. And that's for a lot of people, that's how they start, right? And reality is, it's like, hey, if you like exercise, like, you need to be a professional athlete if that's what you really love. You know, coaching is something so different. It requires such a different level of empathy, attention, care, putting other people on the podium. But, you know, I've shared this a lot with my team lately, and I've been in this industry almost 20 years. I think these past 2 years have been the most impactful for me to really dive deeper in my purpose, about what this is really all about, what it really means to me. I think for a lot of people in every industry that they were in, they were shooken up by, is this something I really want to do? Like, do I really want to do this? It was a great reset. It was a great audit for a lot of people. I saw it with coaches, you know, where they're saying, you know what, this isn't really what I want to do. It's hard stuff. It was good while it lasted, but I want to do something different, totally change careers. And I think those who have stuck through it, those who are in it, those who are in that point where they're in this battle, that's my biggest message, I think, in this next chapter of my career as a coach, is to really instill this mentality of those that are in this space to understand that we have not just the greatest job in the world, in my opinion, getting to change people's life, getting to change people's relationship with health, getting to change people's lineage and legacy and DNA from their kids seeing them a certain way and their kids and their kids. I mean, we can change family trees with one person, and that's so powerful when you think about that. But it's really just that mentality of having that ownership and that thought process. Like, we have the most important job in the world. There's very little jobs that you're going to see that you're going to coach doctors, CEOs, lawyers, professional athletes, moms, dads, kids. It's the center nucleus position that we have, and we have this responsibility and obligation and duty to level up our entire community. You know, we get a chance to lead the leaders. And there's very few professions that have that central space where everybody, it doesn't matter what profession you are, that when you go to that one, you're leveled up. And ultimately, I believe in life, and this one thing that I heard from my mentor is, you know, attention is our greatest asset in life in general, right? People say it's money, you know, is it money, is it time? It's attention, right? It's being focused on the micro moments that we're in. And as coaches, you know, it's really simple what our value is. You know, I think from a coach perspective, it's, you know, it's very simple. Our value is determined by the speed in which we deliver people solutions that they want. I mean, that's a very simple term, right? Like, hey, people want a solution. Our value is determined greater or low in which the speed in which we deliver that solution to people. And the last part I would say is, and our ability for our athletes or anybody we serve, their ability to sustain those. You know, because we say, oh, I got somebody results quick in 4 weeks. Yeah, but do they have the software? Do they have the education? Do they have the ability to sustain that? And so that's really where our value comes in. And that's where a coach's responsibility is really on the attention and accountability. That is our main purpose. You know, it's, yes, we're educating, we're guiding, we're motivating, but people are going to see results. People are going to change their lives when we give them the attention and the accountability. And I think that that's where, you know, that's later on people learn that about being a coach or a trainer. Doesn't matter whatever you want to call yourself, your life changer. You know, that's the most important piece. And so I think when really people understand that, it's not about the exercises. You know, a coach should know, like, it's not about, you know, and I tell our team this all the time, like, hey, we're not here to coach exercises. We're here to coach people first. You know, we coach people first, then we coach the athlete. Once we understand that, we can make some big changes and it becomes so much more fulfilling. So very long-winded depth to that simple quote, but you know, I'm more passionate and more purposeful now than ever.
I love that, Brian. You know, we had the opportunity, you know, back in 2011, you and I didn't know each other. We both landed in San Diego, California at Fitness Quest 10. And it was the Todd Durkin mentorship, and Todd is a mentor to thousands and thousands of fitness professionals out there. And, you know, I look back to where you and I were individually to where we both are today. And it's hard to believe that it's already been 10 plus years since that moment. And to see your growth and your journey, it's jaw-dropping, man, the impact that you've had for that time that I've known you. And, you know, Todd is an amazing mentor, but you've been able to accomplish a lot and have a lot of influence over the fitness community in that 10-year span yourself. And when I think of Brian Nunes, and that's why I was sharing with Yancey back in that back in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, to follow you, is I really feel like you are that epitome of passion and purpose. That seems to be the driver in most of your coaching, whether it's performance related or mindset. Can you share a little bit more? Because I think it goes beyond fitness. It goes beyond athletics. Can you share a little bit more about just kind of your, I don't know, just your definition of passion and purpose?
100%. I think it's a great question. I think it's something that we oftentimes mistake. You know, I know I've thought this way at different points in my career. And I, you know, first off, going back to that time, man, that feels like last weekend when you and I were at the TD, you know, mastermind and mentorship. And it's, it, first off, it's being around people like that, right? I think people, just coaches, need to understand that so much inspiration is outside the four walls that you're in all the time. You know, I would have never had an opportunity to level up or continue to level up if I don't surround myself with people like you, Jared. If I don't surround myself with people like you, Yancey, if I don't learn from people like Todd Durkin, who's paving the path, right? And that's the best part about it, is when you're around these people who just challenge you, inspire you to think bigger, to level up. You're surrounding yourself with people who want to collaborate with your growth, not compete with, you know, trying to be better than this next person. And so, you know, talking about the passion and purpose piece, this is something that I think, I know I've struggled with in the past. I think a lot of people get, you know, it confused. You know, a lot of people say, you know, you're so passionate about, like, you just got to follow your passion. You just follow your passion. And we've heard that advice before, right? And the longer that I've been in this industry, and I've had my business now for 10 years, from Friday, that was our 10-year anniversary. I've been in this industry almost 20 years. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's about following your passion. I think that that's wrong advice. I think that passion gets you started because it's something that interests you. Like, I kind of like this. Like, I'm passionate about this. But passion is not the thing that keeps you in the fight. Purpose is what you have to follow. Because there's a lot of things that I do on a day-to-day basis, and I'm sure that you guys do as well, right? People see this amazing stuff, these Decafit events, and they see the highlight reels and the, you know, the IG stories and all the fun stuff. And that's like, man, that looks just like a nonstop party. But you know, behind the scenes, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, dude, you're not passionate about doing, you know? But it's your purpose that drives you. And when you can really get a strong connection to that purpose about why you're really doing this, you know, why this really matters to you, and that may change over time. And it has for me. I'm you know, closing out on my 30s. I'm 38 years old. I started when I was, my business when I was 28 years old. I got into the industry when I was 20 years old. So my purpose, you know, my purpose at 20 years old, being in the fitness space, was, I was single, young, gotta look good. Like, that was a different level of purpose, you know, than what it is now, having a daughter who's 9 years old, who wants to make sure that she has a great relationship with herself, her body, food, movement, parents. So there's so many things that have shifted as I've evolved in this space as well. But I really want to encourage people is that understand the difference between those two. Don't think just because I'll have a bad day, or, man, this is really tough right now, you know what, I'm not really that passionate about this right now, that's your sign to jump off the train. Because the reality is, anybody that's in it long enough, that it's not about being passionate every single day. And if anything, what you really have to be passionate about is passionate about your purpose. Oftentimes we see those two things as different, passion and purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, the biggest thing I've learned is that it's this, I must be passionate about my purpose. Be solely focused on passion alone, in my opinion, is selfish. Like, I only want to do the things I'm passionate about. It's like, I only want to do the things I like doing. Yeah, but that's like, it's just selfish. There's a lot of things that I need to do in order that's going to impact a lot of other people that are going to lead me more to that purpose. So it's a complete differentiator way of thinking, different perspective that's really allowed me to get through these last 2 years, you know, of, dude, there's so many things that I have not been, I mean, you guys can agree. How many things have you not been passionate about that you've had to do even the last 2 years? Well, what got you through it? You were so passionate about the purpose and knowing why you were doing it. You're not passionate about some of the, you know, the tactical things that you have to do, but that purpose drives you. And I think if we can just have that perspective shift, people will be a little bit more resilient. They'll stay in the fight longer. They'll realize that, hey, rainy days don't last forever. And as long as you look at your body of work at a macro level, not at the micro of what's happening right now, and you can look at that and say, you know, I'm damn proud of that. Like, I'm really proud of the work, why I'm doing it, what I'm doing, who I'm doing it for, how I'm doing it. Those are all so important. So there's a lot of factors to, you know, that make up your purpose. But that to me has been the biggest perspective shift. It's the passion has to be on purpose.
We'll be right back to the interview. But first, a little bit from Athletic Brewing Company, today's sponsor. You don't have to choose between an ice cold beer after a race and your health, thanks to Athletic Brewing Company. Athletic Brewing Company's innovative process allows them to brew great tasting craft beers without the alcohol, from IPAs to stouts to golden ales and more. They offer a full selection of beers starting at only 50 calories, so you can keep your head clear and enjoy the refreshing taste of beer anytime and anywhere. And they're part of a program called Two for the Trails. For every product purchased, Athletic Brewing Company donates 2% of sales to protecting and restoring local trails. They're pioneering a craft brew revolution. You don't have to sacrifice being your best to enjoy a great brew. In fact, check out their website to see a list of awards that their beers have won. Check your local store, but if you can't find it, they'll ship it. Place an order at athleticbrewing.com, and you can get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more. And new customers can save 10% off the entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.
Hey, quick follow-up to this topic. First of all, when you and I met, for some reason, I just kept getting stuck with you on every physical activity we did that weekend, and that sucked for me. Told myself I gotta get more fit if I'm gonna hang with these young bucks. But you know, one of the things that Yancey and I have stressed is also when it comes to fitness training, and you know, I know you refer to your members not as members but as athletes, but we feel that it's very important to find purpose to why you train and exercise. Is that something that you would agree with?
100%, right? I think at the end of the day, for all of us, we've got to find purpose with everything that we're doing. We got to wake up every single day with an intention. You know, for me, it's like a wakey wakey, like here's the intention. What that is just it's a Cliff Notes version of saying, dude, here's my purpose of today. Here is my purpose today. You know, it's my micro purpose must be in line with my macro purpose. So now I'm on pace. So it's the same thing when we're coaching people. You know, for us, we ask the first question, you know, whenever we're working with an athlete, and we believe that everybody's an athlete is more than, you know, and that took a long time. First off, let me just say that, like, us calling people athletes took us years and years and years for people to change the relationship of how they had that connection with the word athlete. Because most people say, oh, I don't play sports, I'm not an athlete, or that's not me, because maybe they were told in elementary school, they weren't fit, or they were picked last, or they never played sports, whether it be through friends or teachers or parents or coaches. You know, people, we have to really retrain. We have, you know, the most important part as a coach is we have to really reconnect that relationship with what we're doing. And the sad part is that the fitness space has a very negative stereotype and stigma to a lot of people who aren't in this space. It's very scary. It's very intimidating. And those of us that are in it are just kind of like, why don't people get it? Just move, watch your calories. It's caloric deficit. It's not that hard. It's more than that. The first thing is you have to understand is what is someone's relationship with this? If I can understand your relationship with this, now I can understand. I'm more empathetic on how I can coach you, how I can speak to you. So understanding what somebody wants is more than just the transactional value of, I want to lose 20 pounds. You know, the second question we want to ask is, why is that important to you? And for us to establish that, maybe it's self-confidence, maybe it's running around with their kids, whatever the case is, each person, for us as coaches, what is the most important thing is we just need to understand why that person wants that goal, what their purpose is. Because really that's where the education piece comes in. It's not about the sets and reps. It's about making the mindful connection to what you're doing, why you're doing it, and me, or as your coach, constantly bringing that the right attention and accountability, because that's the fire, right? We say this all the time. You got to know your why. You got to know your why. Like, yeah, you have to, because it's the fire. If that runs out, if somebody doesn't have a relationship or connection with that, then know what is relevant. You know, that's what fuels all of us. Why, what we're doing, what we're doing. So for, it's as a coach, we've got to always kind of bring that to the forefront, bring that to the attention. Because if people know why they're doing what they're doing, like the people that I see that have the most success just have the most clarity on that. And for I've become so shifted on that too, where yeah, I've got some tangible markers and goals and things that I want to accomplish. But if I just stick to this why, like it just magnifies each year, you know, because it's sometimes I don't even know what's going to come next, but I'm focused on why this is so important, how I'm going to operate. And I will trust the process that things will lie what they lie. But you just can't skip that middle step. One, as an athlete, if you're trying to go through the process, you got to know why you're doing it. Are you trying to do it to impress other people? Like, get to the root of it, because that's what's obviously going to keep you in the fight. And as a coach, you have to know that, because it's the only way that you can really connect with people.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are millions of actors out there, and very few win the Academy Award. There are millions of coaches and trainers, and Ryan Nunez is a Academy Award winning trainer in our industry. And I, like, as I said, I love what you provide for our industry. You are a great leader. My next question is about a topic that, for lack of better terms, for the most part is a little bit of a hot mess in the world of fitness and just in the world in general. And that's social media. And I, early on when I started following you, I heard you say it, the word service media versus social media. And I also heard you say that the key to my success, and I think this is when you phrased it in a way that it was obviously beyond just service media, but you said, when I started focusing every single post on serving people, it was a game changer for me. So I have leaned in on that, and I always try to make sure I tag you when I do, but I have been on a mission since Brian Nunez was in my life. It's like, I am going to try to spread that freaking message with every ounce of energy I have, because that social media is a hot mess for the most part. There's a lot of good, but there's more bad. And I love service media and the way you coined that so freaking much, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you, man. You know, I think it's like anything else. You know, I think social media is like, I think there's three things, and I'll say social media could be the fourth one, that really exposes a person's truth. Power really just exposes your truth. If you have power, you know, and Abe Lincoln said it, you want to see the mark of a real person, give them power, see how they really are. Money just exposes your truth. If you're a greedy person when you were broke, you'll be a greedy person when you have money. If you're a giving person when you didn't have any, you'll be an even more giving person when you have it. There's one third one that I am just near and dear to my heart because I'm in this space, is when people become fit. I think it exposes your truth. I think some people who, you know, weren't in shape, I've seen some people who get in shape and then all of a sudden they're like extremely cocky and arrogant. It just exposed their truth. That's who they were, you know? Now it was easy when they weren't fit because they weren't fit in that case, but it exposed their truth. Or are they serving and helping and paying it forward to the next person? When we talk about social media, I actually think it falls into that category. It just exposes people's truth. I don't actually see it as good or bad. It's just going to expose whatever's really inside of you about what you value the most. So I think a lot of people struggle with it for a couple aspects. My struggle with social media is the word social. Now, as big as my expressions are, depending on the environment and the air and the arenas that I'm in, I never change who I am, what I stand for. I change the expression in which the environment needs me to be. And this is really important for people. I'm a very reserved person. I'm not this, you know, I don't walk around, you know, my house or the office, let's go, baby, let's bar. I'm not like screaming all the time. That's not my actual natural nature, but who I am as an individual, I'm very empathetic, I'm very caring, I'm very understanding, I'm very compassionate. So there's a lot of core values within myself about who I am, But that needs to be expressed differently in different arenas. When I'm working with someone one-on-one, it needs to be expressed differently. When I'm working on a big stage, I need to be like super energetic and because that's what the environment needs to be successful. So for me, I've looked at that saying, it's not about changing who I am, change the expression of who you are based on the environment in which you're serving. So for me, social media was, my natural who I am is very chilled and reserved. I don't like, so I'm not very social. Like outside of work, I'm like with my wife and my daughter. I'm not the guy like having barbecues, going to barbecues. I got nothing against it. I'm not very strong. I don't have a strong social muscle. Like if I go to a barbecue, I'm going to be like the person talking in the corner, like deep, like for like an hour with some person. I'm just not good on like what I call barbecue talk. My wife is amazing at it. She like blocks in, and that's why we're so great when we do it. But it's a struggle for me. And so that word actually kind of gives me anxiety because I'm just not really like that. So I'm not a social person, but I want to help people. So I understand that this is an amazing tool. It is, and that's all it is, a tool. I'm not going to say it's good or bad. I'm not using this tool correctly for my issue is because of the word was stuck in. I didn't have the right relationship with the word. So if I can change my vocabulary, then I can change what this tool can allow me to do, which is what I really want to do, is serve people. I love serving people. As I said, when I go to the barbecue, I'm like doing a coaching session with somebody, right? I love serving. It's the things that brings me the most joy. Like I love it. I would goal coach all day. It's in my fiber. I love it so much. So when I changed it to service media, now it's an opportunity and a platform to serve. And I went back on my old stuff when I didn't really understand how to social media. I'm like, you know what? Let me audit my stuff. You know, was it to just the likes or this, which a lot of people get caught up on, right? Oh, I'm doing this. Let me check my phone. How many likes did I get? How many comments did I get? How many people shared it? When you're so focused on service, I don't care how many or how little, as long as it affects one person. If I can share this message and it changes one person's perspective or gives them ideas on exercises, I don't care if a million people see it and then nobody does it, or two people see it and one person. That to me is the most important thing, is that I showed up. My purpose is, did I show up today giving people an opportunity to live a healthier, happier life? Did I, as my God's gift, show up and pay that forward to help other people and give them that opportunity? So to me, my scoreboard is about me showing up, not what the numbers reflect. Because I know if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm doing it with the right intentions, there will be people out there who need that support. And so I think that's one of those things that when I look at that fourth category, it really exposes you. If people are having a tough time and struggling with it, I hate social media, my engagement is down, this is set. It's like, because that's exposing the truth of what it's really about for you. It's about the applause. It's not about the cause. And it's a wake-up call for people. And maybe some people listening to this right now are like, oh, damn, like I'm 90% of my stress is on how many likes it got. So just audit yourself. And if you really don't care, which I really believe, guys, that most people don't care about that much, especially who are coaches, they've just kind of been conditioned in that space to like think that's what matters. That's not what matters. Showing up, serving, giving that expertise day in, day out, they'll find a whole new level of fulfillment. Change the mentality. The amount of people that I've shared this philosophy with and this vocabulary switch with to get look at it as service media. We don't even call it social media in our company. We call it service media. How are always be serving? What's the value? What's the education? What's the inspiration? So it's a completely, and one word can change everything, because one word changes the relationship. And that's what it was for me. So I think for a lot of people, if they change that relationship, they'll change their actions. And so, you know, I've seen, you know, you tag me in all the time, man, and I love it. And you and both you guys are just such amazing examples of people who show up with the mindset of how is this going to help somebody else? You know, and that's when you have a strong conviction and confidence of who you are. It's not about you. As coaches, it's not about us, right?
Super quick follow up. What he just said, I want that said on the floor of Congress. I want that said on the floor of every board meeting for every single CEO of every social media company. I want the world to hear the last 5 minutes. It would be a freaking game changer, man. I love you. Thank you for giving our podcast that moment.
Hey, Yancey, I was thinking, I've been smiling here and kind of laughing behind the scenes because, you know, we say this a lot, but in today's times, but coaches need coaches, right? Well, Yancey, the YCJC show right now, we're getting coached. Yeah. We're not just having a podcast right now. We're getting coached.
Love it.
And and Yancey talks about the mic drops. And B, you've already, I think, given us 5 to 7 mic drops
easily
in just the first 30 minutes here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, part one was absolutely amazing. A few little nuggets to look forward to in episode two. Brian talks about as a leader, in this case, we were talking about fitness coaches, but he talks about how it is for everybody out there. If you're a leader of anybody, any team, any group, or a coach, you need to be a life changer, a life connector. That's what we have to do. Talks about real leadership is when you lead from behind. So nobody on the team is left behind. We always hear lead from the front. You can't lose anybody off the back end. We have voices that can be loud enough. The people in front will hear us. Get back in the back and love on those that may be struggling. Listen, folks, episode one was great. Episode two is heavy hitting. Let's go.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Spartan Up. Do you want to be ready for anything? Download Joe's free ebook at spartan.com/readyforanything. Do you know someone who needs a little help staying motivated, staying informed, getting or staying mentally and physically resilient? We're here 3 days every week with a mix of content to help you stay strong, from mindset to nutrition and everything in between. Listen every Tuesday to hear Joe DeSena, Spartan Race founder and CEO. And the rest of the week, join us for DECA, Endurance, and Classic episodes. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company. Their innovative process allows them to brew great-tasting craft beer without the alcohol. New customers can get 10% off their entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.